essentially it didn't have any funding. What it was an outcome of my PhD research, which I did with the support of a scholarship from RMIT, so the Vice Chancellor Scholarship at RMIT, which also includes a little bit of research money every year, which I used for, among other things, paying for camera people to help out and various other expenses to do with it. But it didn't actually start out as a film project, so it sort of was made over a long period of time, and then it sort of like finally came together as a film at the end.
All right, so the film that we're talking about is called Rainbow Video. What was your PhD question?
My PhD question was about the relationship between video shops, specifically independent or outhouse ones in Melbourne, and also lending collections, like such as the Acme and Cinemedia collections, and the relationship between those libraries and artistic practice. So the kind of community of video artists and media artists in Melbourne who used them, who frequented them, who worked in them, and who, this sort of like two-way influence between these shops and these artists.
Well, of course, it plumbs right into the Marshall McLuhan notion that once you go into a different medium, then something is always left behind. And
Yeah.
that's what you discover, really, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think that I think when I first started the project, I think I was thinking of video shops as being this thing that was disrupted by streaming. When in fact, like as the more research I did and the more interviews that I did, what became more clear is that they sort of sit on this continuum and that there are after effects of the medium of video shops, even though it was kind of a brief moment in film distribution, unlike what had come before, and sort of in a lot of ways, unlike what came after. But there are definitely echoes of it, not just in streaming services, but in, many of the ways that people engage with film culture online and in person and in their practice.
You talk to a whole lot of people. You talk to them about their experience of interaction with video shops and how this was a cultural experience, not just a transactional experience.
100%, yeah, and I think that that's kind of what's interesting about video shops to me, where they are kind of a blended space. They were very commercial, and in one hand, they were small businesses that were really cashing in on the boom in home video. But because of the almost because it was this kind of like benign indifference of these video shop owners, they ended up becoming this repository of like this incredible diversity of content. So, stuff from many decades previous was sitting alongside new releases. You had art house films, you had all these different kind of things mixing together. And that became a very rich, generative space for not just artists, but people who didn't know they were artists yet, like it became an access point for people who didn't know what they were going to find in those spaces and came away kind of like with their eyes opened to lots of different possibilities for moving image, for film, for culture. And also, like, they were spaces that culture and knowledge was expanded in, I think. New ways of thinking about film emerged from that culture in terms of an appreciation of, high and low, if you want to call them that, genre film, and all those kind of like really rich and interesting parts of culture that we kind of take for granted now.
It's a conversation, your film. And obviously, you started off with ideas, but because you're interviewing all these different people, you come up with further questions that you want to pose to them. And one of the things that I found really fascinating is the concept of curation, because even though the shops themselves were, they're like libraries, but libraries have got more connotations to them than just a commercial outlet. But human knowledge actually accumulates in a space. And then all those people who know nothing except for perhaps the latest advertisement suddenly realize that there's this huge backdrop, 3D thing going on. And that's culture.
100%. Yeah, I think that's a great observation. Yeah, it definitely is a conversational film to pick up on that. I think because there was a real relationship between the interviews and then the questions that I asked and the ideas that came out of it. So the interviews really were this kind of engine of the research because I was doing kind of primary research in conducting those interviews and discovering the history of this sort of niche culture as I was going. So I didn't come in with a huge amount of ideas to impose on the material. It actually kind of like spoke back to me a lot. But yeah, what you're saying about libraries is really true, that they, as wonderful as like community libraries and archives and all of those things are so important and so valuable, there was something really interesting about this space that didn't have a sense of canon or, official ways of organizing or, putting information into a hierarchy. It was really like down to the people who worked in the shops and their relationship to the customers and what the customers wanted. And a lot of those people were artists, filmmakers, enthusiasts, cinephiles, and they could kind of really delve into their like interests and also make connections across the material that wouldn't happen in the same way in an archive or a lending, a lending library.
Yeah,
So I
well, that
think it
was,
sort of opened up this space, yeah, for that to happen.
and of course, the people that you talk to are really kooky and interesting people themselves. I mean, and so you delve into that as well, which is kind of nice. The reason for why they like what the Alice in Wonderland went down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, and I think, one of the ways that I see a connection between video shop culture and online culture, if you use the example of something like Netflix's Stranger Things, that series, not only does it kind of like have this nostalgia for that era, for the 80s, and sort of, with its constant, references and Easter eggs in it to other films. So not only does it sort of have that nostalgia, but it could not exist. Like, I don't think a film like that could exist without the video shop culture that produced that kind of encyclopedic knowledge of film, if that makes sense.
No,
Like,
I do. I
you
do
couldn't
think so.
actually have that kind of, you
I
couldn't
mean,
actually
it.
have that kind of knowledge before video
And it's
shops.
kind of interesting too because on one hand, they're trying to encapsulate the 80s as being the greed period, the period where the explosion of the corporations and all the rest of it. While my experience of the 80s is much more what you are showing in your film, which is this absolute fascination for cultural detritus, as well
Yes.
as the politics behind the fabric of our society, which I suppose is running in parallel to the greed corporations.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, they're sort of in relationship with each other, aren't they? They're sort of
Yeah,
one's a
that's right.
reaction to the other.
Yeah. I mean, I was
Yeah.
fascinated by Phil Brophy's metic. I love the way in your film you actually have his whole meticulous understanding of how the new technologies that that was being offered to him could actually answer the problems that he had, because that was the world I was in, and
Yeah.
you and in the film you actually allowed him to describe it. I just found that really fascinating.
I hope it comes across. I mean, I really think that we owe such a debt of gratitude to people like Philip Brophy for codifying and defining those fields of, study and film that were really neglected. Like he talks about how he really was just building this knowledge as he went through watching the credits on the film and writing down the director and then trying to find something else by that person. And it's so easy to just look up that stuff online now. But that's because there's so many people like Philip Brophy who are, really passionate and fascinated and compelled to delve so deeply into something that is really marginal to so many other people, if that makes sense. So, yeah, I
Yeah,
really
no, that's
wanted to
right.
show how that knowledge was built,
Which is really interesting. I also found it interesting because, like you say, you're not a filmmaker or you haven't been a filmmaker previously. And so, how you construct this film is quite interesting because you use the camera in a very 80s way, which is you let it stay there and we watch the outside of spaces that are very ordinary. And I love that. Like the people coming in and out of things, documenting what's actually there rather than transducing it through some sort of cultural belief structure. It's quite nice.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that probably comes from my video art background, where there is like more license to kind of sit and stay with things for a longer period of time. And, the way that you frame things, like I really wanted people to look at these spaces in a different way. And if I leaned into kind of fast editing or trying to recreate something from the period when they were really contemporary, I think that you would see, our imagined idea of the video shot, but I really wanted to show what was there when I shot them, because a lot of them were kind of like in their final days when I shot them, and there's a lot of like interesting detail in those shots that's not just, they're sort of like they are time capsules, but they also speak to the transition that was happening in that moment, the kind of economic transition and the cultural transition and the transition of film distribution and all of those, all of those little details are kind of in there.
That moving through the space is really lovely. I mean, that's so amazing, the amount of effort and work that someone put into visualizing and then making that happen. That shot in particular was quite extraordinary.
You talk about Picture Search, the opening. Yeah, that's an incredible space. And that's what the only video shop in the whole film that's still operating.
You can see why they were so attractive, because browsing is attractive, isn't it?
100%. I think that another aspect of the research that I've done behind the film is looking at how physical objects in space kind of aid cognition. They're sort of like this scaffolding to thought. And how that's such a different experience from browsing something online, like something on a screen. Actually, having objects around you and walking through a space where things are calling for your attention, where you can see things in your peripheral vision, these connections can suddenly be made across time and space that, are unanticipated. And that's something that is not replicated, in any other space in film culture now. I think it certainly still exists in bookstores and record stores and other kind of library spaces, but I think it was definitely something unique for film culture at that time. And yeah, I guess like that's another thing I wanted to show in those sequences with the video shots was how they were set up and how they what it felt like to be in them, like what that sort of like just incredible kind of bombardment of like visual stimuli, but also the physicality of it, of moving through these aisles and being surrounded by objects is, to an extent, that's the thing that we've lost.
Ramirez said that about how, where do people do this stuff anymore? How do they interact in a physical space? This is a compelling question, because that's what humans do.
Yeah, exactly. I think that it's interesting. Like, I've read some articles recently about how, for example, if you look at the music streaming, I read this great article by Ted Joyer, I think his name is, about how in the music industry, objects have made a comeback. I mean, not physical media in terms of necessarily CDs, but people. Vinyl is going strong, stronger than ever. People buy it not just to listen to it, but as collector's items to have the artwork and the cover notes. People buy merchandise. Like there's still a desire to have those kind of like fit that physical attachment, and it hasn't gone away, but it's sort of changed or transmuted into, something else.
You must be quite pleased that it's going to be at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival. That was that a surprise to you?
Absolutely, I'm completely thrilled. I mean, this is the first film I've ever made, like first feature film. It's totally thrilling, especially because it's going to be at the Nova Cinema, and that's absolutely one of the kind of my formative places for becoming interested in moving image, cinema, art. I've been going there since I was a little kid, so that's kind of mind-blowing. I'm incredibly excited about that.